It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Big Apple Hockey, where we're going to be talking a lot about the preseason and some of the questions that you might have for the New York Islanders today. We're going to go over our five questions that we have. I, of course, am your host, Mark Williams, who is happy that there's no technical difficulties right now on my end. And I'm joined by Mr. Anthony LaRocco.
Yeah, I'm pumped for the Islanders season to start, the NHL season to start. And, you know, as you see here in my little header there, I sent Mark that list last night that Open Ice did, ranking the Thriller as number one. A lot of love for him this year. I mean, I know the Athletic writers a couple weeks ago, he garnered over 50% of the vote for who's going to win the Vezina this year. So he has some lofty expectations heading into the year. But nonetheless, hockey's right around the corner. I'm excited to talk Isles with you guys today.
Well, for starters, that's why I need to get the soundbite of that's your opinion, man, from the Big Lebowski. Because again, as we said before, if you want to put any of the big three Russians, Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, or Sorokin number one, I'm not going to argue with you. There are three great goaltenders, Ant. And what Sorokin has in front of him, you can argue is not the best, but I can also argue that it might be the best defensive core and the best defensive system that's in front of them. However, we're going to talk plenty about Ilya Sorokin. We're actually going to do an Islanders bar talk today. We did not do a Rangers bar talk the other day. So everybody make sure you are hitting that subscribe button, because I do not say this enough, and that is often a problem. And we're going to go right to the A block, where we're going to be talking all about the New York Islanders today, so you can ignore that Ranger shield that was right there, everybody. And also, just a colorful reminder, the Big Apple Hockey trucker hats are available. Click the link below. And we also have some of these Big Apple Hockey shirts. So SeatGeek is the sponsor of the A-Block. Use the promo code Big Apple Hockey for $20 off your first order. All right, Anthony, so let's get our five questions just out there. We'll go into to analyze them after our guest comes on and off. We're going to have Sean from Hockey Night in New York coming on. Five questions we have going into the Islanders preseason. And by the way, first question before I get into this, is preseason hyphenated? I hyphenate it and then I don't.
I've seen it that way sometimes, for sure.
It's like, the dictionary says I don't have to, but yet I also have to. So, you know, basic grammar that's in there. So we got five questions. Like I said, we did it for the New York Islanders. For the New York Rangers the other day. Here's our New York Islanders one. Anthony, start it off. Number five.
Are you flashing it here?
They're your questions, so you would know.
They are, but I forgot which order you were going to put them in. So, yeah, right. Number five, is this the last hurrah for, you know, the Islanders' fourth line? They've been together since, 2013, in the playoffs, they were coined the best fourth line in hockey. And that, you know, stood tall for a long time. But over the last couple of years, they're getting older. Even though Matt Martin actually had a career high in points last year, oddly enough. But Cal Clutterbuck, you know, he's very injury prone. The toll has officially hit his body from all the years that he's played hockey at the style that he plays. And then they both only have 1 year left on their contracts in reference to Martin and Clutterbuck. So this could be the last hurrah for them. And, you know, they might even be broken up this year. So we'll have to see.
And coming in at number four.
Number four. Will Lane Lambert keep the line together that you see here that helped the Islanders make to the playoffs after acquiring Pierre Engvall? That line really was the line that dragged the Islanders into the postseason, aside from Sorokin's goaltending. But this line was very productive. They gelled, they got chemistry. You know, and Engvall added an element to that line in the sense that he's got a lot of speed, and he was able to transition the puck from the defensive zone into the offensive zone. You know, Nelson primarily was the puck carrier, but having a second guy on that line that can really carry the puck across the neutral zone was big. And like I said, they had a lot of chemistry. So will Lane keep them together? I would say yes, but we'll have to see as preseason goes on if he tinkers with it.
And coming in, number three.
Number three, this is the question that I think a lot of people expect to be the captain, Anders Lee. We'll have to see. You know, if it's not Anders Lee, who plays the left side, if they wanted to switch it up, I'm sure Barzal could play the left side, which would enable them to use the option of Oliver Wahlstrom on the right side. You know, it kind of makes sense. One of the best shooters on the team playing with, you know, the best playmaker on the team and another guy in Horvat could be a dangerous line. We'll see which direction that Lane wants to go. But, my first inclination is that Anders Lee will get that spot.
Coming in, number two.
This was the Islanders' bugaboo, 30th in the league last year. Their power play was dreadful. It's actually quite impressive that a team with that bad of a power play made it into the playoffs. But, you know, if you think about it, on the flip side, if this power play was, let's say, even middle of the pack, like, you know, 12, 15, how much better the Islanders would be. So I think if they can get their power play into that range, you know, now you're talking, maybe there's a chance they could finish, you know, not in a wild card, but third in the Metro, and the power play is going to be really important for them this coming year.
I know we're going to go more into analysis on this soon enough, but just to echo what Anthony is saying right there, the Islanders had the 30th ranked power play, 15.8%, the Ducks at 15.7%, and the Flyers at 15.6% were below them. The next closest playoff team to them was the Winnipeg Jets at 19.3, and that's at 23rd. So I got to agree with you on that one. We're going to go further into this in a moment because we're going to talk about the amount of talent that they have in that power play and that it should never be this low. And lastly, Anthony, at number one.
Yes. Zach Parise, a fan favorite. We all love him for, you know, everything he brings to the team. Lou Lamoriello, his press conference the other day, said that he's not with the team at training camp. Left the door open for the, you know, for the future, but it appears as though his time here might be done. But we got Sean Cuthbert coming in from host of Hockey Night in New York. Great Islander guy. Sean, thanks. I know you're driving, so you don't have video, but thanks for joining us here this morning.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Thanks a lot for having me.
Good.
Coming on.
So it's a great time of year. Training camp opens next week. Preseason games soon after. What are your first thoughts on the Islanders going into this season? You know, a lot of Islander fans, as you know, Sean, are very negative on this club. But I for me right now, as a baseline, I see, you know, a wild card playoff team. Unless, you know, Ilya Sorokin got hurt or something catastrophic happened. But what are your first thoughts going into camp and this coming season?
Well, I'm with you, Anthony, and I typically take a fairly optimistic point of view. But I think that they're a playoff team. However, I don't exactly think the naysayers are crazy. I think that there's just a lot of what-ifs going into this season, right? There's been a lot of talk about, oh, the Islanders are bringing the same team back, right? And you know, I know in our show, myself and Stefan have talked about, well, hey, yeah, in a sense they are, but, you know, the Islanders only got, what, the last, you know, not even half of the season with Bo Horvat, Pierre Engvall, right? Those guys are late pickups. You're going to get a full season. And, you know, I think you got to give some a little leeway here to see what happens with a full season of those guys. And Barzal and Horvat getting a training camp together to see if they can develop some chemistry and get some offensive output and most importantly, improve the power play.
Sean, you said it best. They're going to have a full season with Bo Horvat. Now, some naysayers will look at that and go, well, he really didn't produce that much when he was a New York Islander. Anthony, of all people, has said that, well, he did. He only had Matt Barzal for X amount of time. But we also know, as a person, settling in on Long Island, getting used to it, and we also know Bo Horvat brings so much more to the game than just whether or not he scores goals. Are the Islander fans really going to be seeing – what are they like? What do you think about what he's going to be bringing to the game?
Well, I don't think he's going to put up the type of goals he was putting up in Vancouver last season. I think that's just the nature of the Islanders and the system that they'll likely play this season. It's going to be interesting to see how Lane Lambert comes out of the gate with this team. Last year he tried that more of a hybrid offensive style to go along with what they were doing Barry Trotz wise. It didn't exactly work. It almost tanked the season back in January. And then he was like, you know what, maybe it's time to go back to the old ways. And when they started playing a little more Barry Trotz hockey, that's when we started seeing that success, when they were able to climb back into the playoffs. And I think Bo Horvat, even though he didn't put up a lot of points after Barzal went down, I think, like you said, he was still a big part of the team and a big part of the reason why they made it, because, you know, you had J.G. Pageau go down as well. He basically was an all-around utility guy at that point, right, taking, you know, face-offs in both ends of the ice, munching up a lot of minutes. And I think you're going to see more of that, but with a healthy squad and with him and Barzal just being allowed to do their thing on the top line, like, yeah, he's going to be one of the top point producers for this team. But I just don't know if anybody should expect, you know, on pace for 40 goals, Bo Horvat, you know?
Now, Sean, one of the Lou's main points at his press conference, there was a lot of talk about Zach Parise. Obviously, not with the team, staying home with his family in Minnesota, at least for now. This is a guy, even at his age, I don't know how you feel about it, but I would say he was probably the hardest working Islander night in, night out. His motor never stopped. And he added 21 goals on top of that, played the PK. So he's going to, you know, leave a decent sized hole in the lineup. When it comes to replacing him, do you think it's as simple as, you know, Hudson Fashing playing on his off wing, taking that left wing spot in the third line and rolling with that? Or do you think, because Lou mentioned also the kids, like giving them a shot, do you think Dufour or Ishikov, even though I think he's predominantly a center, or even Maggio, who looks, you know, a little promising so far, day one of rookie camp, do you think any of those guys are realistic options to maybe make the squad and, you know, fill that role?
I don't. Definitely not out of the gate. Could one of them shock and surprise through camp? Sure, it's possible. Anything can happen. But I definitely think to start, the Isles will play it a little safer, and you'll probably see something like Hudson Fashing or maybe newcomer Gauthier. I'm very curious to see what he does in camp. There's a lot of talk about the speed that he brings. I don't think that anybody is going to be able to fill Parise's shoes to the degree that anybody is going to hope. I mean, look, as a graybeard, what, 38, 39-year-old putting up 20 goals, and you know, you hit it on the head, and one thing he was pretty much recognized throughout Islander country, and credit where it's due, is, I mean, the guy busted his tail all season. He was the hardest working guy in that team, and that's something they're going to miss. They're going to miss that leadership in the locker room too, but this is a veteran squad, and they're going to be able to rally without him, and that's probably the most intriguing forward spot on the team. And I think you also have to lump Oliver Wahlstrom's name in there too, not so much with that spot in the lineup, but just, you know, what is he going to bring? Is he going to make up for those goals that they're going to miss out on Parise if he doesn't come back?
Sean, I got to look at that power play and say that there is way too much talent for that power play to be ranked 30th in the league. And I think the power play probably should start running a lot more through Noah Dobson. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a big spotlight on Dobson this season. And it's funny because the guy managed to put up essentially another 50-point season, and somehow he's still a struggle on the power play. And, I mean, you got to look at all the guys that are getting out there when they're up five. But he's a guy who's going to have to, I think, just establish more, you know, on that power play, maybe bring a little more confidence. And, yeah, it's going to have to run through him. I mean, Ryan Pulock's kind of, you know, almost morphed into another, like, lesser version of Adam Pellick in the sense that he's a little more of a defensive defenseman these days, where we thought he was going to be more of an offensive guy. So I think there is a lot of pressure on Dobson to make sure some of those points that he's putting up this season are on the power play. You know, whether that, you know, falls somewhat on the coach Steph and John McClain. A lot of people are, you know, groaning about McClain coming back, but ultimately it is those guys, those talented guys on the ice that you mentioned to make it happen. And yeah, a lot of it's going to have to come from Dobson. There's going to be a big focus on him for that.
John, I'm sure you likely saw it, but, you know, it was a week ago or so, The Athletic had their, you know, they had a piece where each fan base kind of rated their faith in the front office. You're really laughing. I love it. In the front office. And then the writers themselves graded it. And the Islanders in each category, the writers and the fans, got a lot of D's. We discussed this on our show after it came out. And I'm not a Lou apologist at all, but I feel as though that it was a little harsh. I mean, if you look at the state of the organization, when, you know, at the end of the season, when Gar Snow and Doug Waite were still in charge, to what it is now, I mean, it's night and day. We're a respected organization that runs professionally now. And since Lou's been here, they missed the playoffs once. And, you know, it was a weird year, COVID year, new building, back-to-back conference finals trips. So do you think it's a little harsh based on all that? I mean, I understand he made some questionable trades now that we look back on it. The Von Taves, and their fans aren't happy about how, you know, he hasn't made wholesale changes or a way he's managed the cap. But my feeling, these are across the board were a little harsh. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, talk about what have you done for me lately, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can look at it in a couple of ways. Like first off, I was pretty surprised this, and did I expect them to go down in the rankings from whatever they were the year before? Yeah, I did. But to see them at 30th, I was like, wow, you know, that was quick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, I guess you can look at it in this way, right? Like, the bar has been raised on Long Island in the sense that, you know, just getting into the playoffs or battling for a wild card isn't enough anymore, which I think in a way is a good sign, because, you know, that used to be, you know, you'd hear Ranger fans saying, oh, it's the Islanders Stanley Cup, right? Getting into the playoffs or whatever it is, you know, and now you have those two semifinal appearances, and, you know, Islander fans got a little taste of what it could be like to be a contender. They, you know, take a couple of steps back, and you know, I think everybody's just still a little hungry to get back into that contention, especially with, I think everybody's a little concerned about that window getting smaller, right? Because this team is starting to age, right? You're seeing, you know, the leadership of this team, the veterans. Josh Bailey's already gone. He basically played himself off the team last year because he wasn't the same Josh Bailey anymore. Brock Nelson, you know, heading into his mid-30s. Andrews Lee, the captain, right? And these guys have, you know, heavy salaries attached to their names and stuff. So, and I think that's a part of the reason why you're seeing this ranking. So, you know, do I agree with you that maybe dropping them down to 30 out of 32 as with respect to, you know, faith in the management or whatever you want to call it? Like, yeah, I think it's a bit much. I think, you know, there's a lot of short memory with regards to what Lou Lamoriello has done for this team. I don't think he's lost it, as people like to say. He's a big reason why they've been, you know, in the position they've been these last few years. And yeah, maybe there's certainly a bigger spotlight on him now to keep this team competitive and, you know, move through that cap and figure out a way to extend this team's contention. Because, you know, you look at Barzal and Horvat, they're going to be here for the next century. They're both in their mid to late 20s. And you know, those are two guys that you got to build around to compete. So, yeah, I think it's fair to say, hey, Lou, where's this all going? Because, you know, with those aging guys in mind, like, how are they going to, you know, replace those guys once their numbers start going down. But yeah, I think Lou deserves a little more credit than what he seems to be getting, according to that Athletic piece.
Well, I got to agree again about the Devontae's trade, because you get the Ranger fans talking about the Pavel Buchnevich trade. It's almost like the same thing. But they go, how do you ever get rid of this guy? Well, you can't keep everybody. You can't pay everybody. It's just the way it is. Dropping him all the way down to 32nd is ridiculous. Let me go to a team that everybody thinks is going to be competing against the Islanders or even leapfrogging them, the team that missed the playoffs last year that was ranked 10th in that Athletic article, the Pittsburgh Penguins and Kyle Dubas. Like, now, do you look at that and just go, oh, man, they got Erik Karlsson. What are the Islanders going to do? Or on the other hand, are you looking at that as the Islanders and saying, yeah, the Islanders, they know how to keep the puck out of their own net. We know the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to let everything in that net now. Tristan Jarry and Erik Karlsson on defense, I mean, like, do you really feel like they're a threat?
Are they a threat? Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, even looking at that roster, is as old as it's getting. I mean, the names are still those names, right? Whether it's Crosby, Malkin, Letang, and now Karlsson, sure. And look at how close it was last year. You add Karlsson to that, you know, Dubas has kind of revitalized the excitement over there in Pittsburgh, and good for them. But do I think that they're going to be this, you know, instant Stanley Cup contender now that Karlsson's there? No, because you brought it up yourself. Like, their goaltending is still a huge issue. Karlsson isn't exactly known for his defensive prowess. So, you know, I still think that the goals against is going to be an issue for that team. And look, I mean, if we're going to compare them to the Islanders, like, I'll take Sorokin plus the Islanders D over whatever the Penguins got back there any day of the week. I mean, it's really just going to come down to the Islanders, you know, finding a little more scoring, and especially in the power play. I'm sure you guys heard it ad nauseum last year. I did. I said it myself, too. If they can even just get their power play, like, above 20th overall, they're probably in a much safer space as far as the playoffs go. And the thing is, I'm not just worried about Pittsburgh. I'm worried about teams like Detroit and Buffalo. Those teams are going to be better. Ottawa, you know, not necessarily to take a spot, but they're definitely going to start taking more points away. And the Islanders are going to have to, you know, really get their offense and power play going to keep those teams at bay.
I'm glad you, by the way, that you brought up taking points away, only because I usually say if you add points to a team, they have to come from somewhere else. I always say that one. Anthony?
Yeah.
Sean, you meant the power play, and kind of a little bit of a question here for you in regards to the power play. There's a certain power play specialist that's still unrestricted free agent. I think he might have had his hip resurfaced, if you see where I'm going here. You know, I know a lot of Islander fans dream, and that's okay, but
sure.
Do you envision a scenario where if the Islanders, let's say, get off to a good start, because apparently Kane is in no rush, he wants to see where the teams are in the standings before he makes a decision. I know his dad likes going to home games. Playing in New York was a lot easier for that. So if the Islanders get off to a good start and position themselves where it looks like, hey, you know, they're most likely definitely going to make the playoffs, do you think Kane would consider signing with the Islanders and trading in the blue and orange and coming to Long Island?
Would he consider it? Sure. I think the word now is he's been linked to Detroit because of DeBrincat, right?
Yeah, yeah, saw that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think he would consider it. I think, I think it's important that they are in contention. He's made it pretty clear that he wants to play for a team that can compete and get another chance at the Stanley Cup. I guess the biggest question is, you know, what sort of money is he going to be wanting, and you know, is Lou going to be able to maneuver, you know, the salaries that he has already to make room for him? I mean, that's I guess the biggest concern. I mean, they're technically just slightly above the cap ceiling as it is right now. I mean, do you shift some guys around to make room for a guy like Patrick Kane? I think so, if it's not too, you know, cost prohibitive. I mean, talk about a team that could use a guy like him, you know, up 5-on-4, sure. I think he'd consider it. I don't know if the Islanders would be his first choice, but I'm sure Lou will be on the phone with his agent if, you know, if the opportunity is there to get him.
Yeah.
Sean, I just Actually, Anthony.
No. Go ahead. I just wanted to make sure. I know he's driving. Want to make sure he's good on. You know, he's good on time here. Give him a couple more minutes. Is that all right, Sean?
Yeah. We're good for a couple more.
All right. Awesome. All right. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Sean, I always kind of use this term like there's just something missing sometimes with the Islanders. And I think it's just that they need a bona fide sniper scorer that's on this team. Is any answer within, or are they going to have to look potentially just outside the organization at the trade deadline in order to find somebody?
Well, I think that's been a concern for like the past two decades. Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, is it within? I think the hope and maybe at this point prayers is that Oliver Wahlstrom, you know, could be that guy. And, you know, he's kind of flirted with it. We've seen, you know, that shot and what he might be able to be and whether it's, you know, not getting the trust from Barry Trotz and then last year getting hurt when it looked like he might have been finally starting to show what he can do. He could be that guy, and hopefully Lambert, you know, gives him an opportunity to flourish this year. I'm curious to see where he slots in the lineup and, you know, how he fits on a potential Horvat-Barzal line, because you'd have Barzal and Wahlstrom, you know, looking at the right wing. So I don't know. Do you put a guy like Wahlstrom on his off wing? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens in camp. And I know that Horvat is expected to be part of that solution. Again, we talked about his goal scoring in Vancouver last year. But look, this is a team that's been scoring by committee for, you know, how long now? And, you know, they got to hope that Brock Nelson can still hover around 30 goals or so. Is Anders Lee still going to put up 25, 30 goals? I mean, you know, there was a lot of concern about how he looked towards the end of the season in the playoffs last year. So, I mean, I don't... Like, they have enough guys where if they can put up the numbers that they're capable of, you know, you go down the lineup, even guys like Pageau chipping in 15 to 20 or whatever it is. If these guys can stay healthy, chip in what they're capable of, and they keep those goals against down, you could probably make an argument that they don't absolutely need that sniper. But, you know, Oliver Wahlstrom developing into that guy would be a very pleasant surprise. And I think just with the way their cap situation is, and I don't know of any, you know, savior coming in from the outside, it's probably going to be another year of, all right, guys, let's do it together, you know?
Now, Sean, you mentioned Brock Nelson. That's the big man I asked question. You know, you mentioned that he's getting, you know, he's going to be 32 in October, so he's not getting younger, but it seems like he's getting better with age. Obviously, he's had his best two seasons the last 2 years, 37 and 36 goals. If he has another, you know, 35 plus goal season, heading into next summer, he's going to have 1 year left on his contract. Do you think that, at that age that Lou will still extend him? Cause I would imagine he'll still command a lot of money if he ever hit the open market. So at 32 years old, do you think it's still smart to invest a lot of years and money into him, going forward?
Well, I think the cynical answer is he's going to get an 8-year extension, right? Just because of all the other deals that Lou's been handing out. That's a tough one. Something that honestly, like, I haven't really been thinking or worrying about. But I guess you have to at some point. Yeah, it's weird, right? Because, you know, some guys, they start to hit 30 and all of a sudden the production just starts to go down. And he's definitely bucked that trend. I mean, look, obviously I'd hesitate to give him, I don't know, at 32, much longer than a 3-year deal, you know. And look, it's really going to depend on where the team is at when we get to that point, right? Like, is it going to be a situation where Lou's like, okay, this team is still contending, you know, I can invest in this team a little bit more and give Brock another few years and you know, hopefully he can still be, you know, the player that he's been over the last few years, which has been outstanding. It's tricky, and I don't have a crystal ball to tell you that, oh yeah, you know, give him another 5, he'll be fine, you know. I'd be very hesitant to give him longer than a 2 to 3 year extension. And, you know, he might be in a situation where he can get those extra years somewhere else to join a contender. It's really going to come down to if he wants to stay at that point, where the Islanders are at. But I mean, I would definitely try to keep it on the shorter term at that point.
Yeah, you know, he seems to me like, and obviously I don't know him from a hole in the wall, but, you know, similar to Bailey, I mean, he's been here his whole career. I get the sense that Brock's a guy that probably would want to, you know, finish his career on the island. I mean, let's say if he were to play another, you know, 4 to 5 years here and still productive, you're talking at that time, he's probably going to be in the top five in goals and games played. So he might have a nice little legacy for himself if he decided to stick around going forward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows what his priorities are, right? Some guys, you know, want to cash in before they, you know, ride off into the sunset. Other guys are happy to stay where they are. They got, you know, families, you know, in their hometowns, right? And they're not looking to uproot their family at the end of their careers. It's really what depends on what this guy is looking for. Or if, you know, he doesn't win a cup with the Islanders by then, he might be like, I need one more chance at a taste. And you know, he's got, you know, maybe by then he has a chance to play with Bedard in Chicago to try to go for a cup. Who knows? But, you know, thankfully that's not a problem at the forefront right now for the Islanders. And, you know, hopefully everything falls into place where, you know, there's a reason for Lou to extend him and there's a reason for him to want to stay, right?
Yeah. Well, Sean, before we let you go, just want to ask, because we've been discussing it, you know, kind of lengthier last couple of weeks. You know, NHL Network did their rankings of goalies, and they had Sorokin at 3 behind Vasilevsky and Shesterkin. You know, just last night, BR Open Ice had their top 10 list, and Sorokin was number 1. So do you think that this is Ilya's turn, his year to win the Vezina Trophy? I mean, if it weren't for Linus Ullmark putting on a Hasek mask last year, he probably would have won his first Vezina. But do you think that this is the year that, you know, because a lot of times, you know it, Sean, Islander players just some get a little bit disrespect by the media just because it's, you know, the Islanders and not the Rangers. And but do you think this is the year where a lot of people in the league say to themselves that, wow, you know, Ilya Sorokin's the best goaltender in the league? And gets something new here.
Yeah, I think, look, it's weird, right? Like, you got to make the playoffs to win the Vezina, right? Like, he can have a, you know, 980 save percentage for the season, but if they don't get into the playoffs, it doesn't matter. And they put a lot of weight on wins, too. But it does seem like he's finally getting the recognition that he deserves, you know, the fact that he is ending up in so high in these rankings. So I think there is going to be a lot of look on him to you know, give him that award if he earns it. I think he's going to have a monster year this year. I think that if there's any, you know, any year that an Islander has a shot at winning a Vezina, this is probably it. I mean, the guy is an absolute beast back there. And, you know, if Romanov has a full year of what we saw towards the latter half of last season, if Dobson can clean up his defensive game, and see, I said it in the beginning, right? A lot of ifs, but yeah. You know, if that can happen, you know, and he keeps playing the game he plays, like, yeah, his numbers are probably going to look great and they probably get into the playoffs and, you know, barring, you know, another historic season from some other team, plus a guy like Ullmark. I think he's probably a front runner for the Vezina this year for sure.
I'm going to put you on the spot. Does he win it?
Does he win it? Yeah, let's go crazy. Go to DraftKings.
You know what? It's not really an outlandish take at all. I think, you know, I think he does bring it home this year. I mean, hell, I think a couple weeks ago, the Athletic writers did, you know, their kind of preseason like predictions for trophies and stuff, and he got over 50% of the vote to win the Vezina from these people. So I think a lot of people agree with you, Sean. I think a lot of people are on the same page as you.
Well, hopefully Ilya makes me look like a genius once you know, April, May, June comes around.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Sean, well, thanks for taking some time out in your morning and joining us. We really appreciate it, and hopefully everything goes smoothly in camp and the team gets off to a great start.
You got it, fellas. Thanks a lot for having me. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Have a great one. Take All right. He was saying take care just as I pulled him out. That was great. Thanks for Sean for joining us right there.
Check out his show, Hockey Night in New York. Another great podcast. They do a great job over there.
All right. So we're going to get back to our five questions, and a lot of them has to do with what we just talked about with Sean. Let's go right back to the first one that you had before, Anthony. Is this the last hurrah for the best fourth line in hockey? I put the fourth line in quotes, air quotes, because I maintain at times they were not the fourth line for the Islanders, but that's just it. They are a really good line. They were broken up when Matt Martin went to Toronto for a few years, and now he's back. But which is weird, Anthony. I've never seen a line get broken up and have a reunion the way it did.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Matt Martin, I think his heart was always on Long Island. You know, when he left, there's just, you know, he chased the money. And I understand it. You know, for a guy like him, he's a, you know, fourth liner, needs to make sure that, his, you know, his family, his future secure. So, but, you know, once Lou came back to Long Island, he said it was important to him to kind of bring back a player who, you know, was basically Mr. Islander and that community there. So good on him. But yeah, if this was bar talk, I would go with a round here. I think that obviously Cizikas is going to be here for much longer, you know, and he's still a really good, you know, a real good player in that role. But, you know, Martin and Clutterbuck, I mean, kudos to them. Their bodies have just been broken down from playing that physical brand of hockey for years, night in and night out. They both have 1 year left on their contracts. You know, I would say that, you know, after this year, they might both be done. I would say, especially Clutterbuck. I mean, hell, there's been some talk about, you know, if he's too banged up to play this year even. So we'll see how it goes. You know, it seems like the guy, you know, gets injured at every turn. But, you know, he's still an effective penalty killer for sure. You know, he still gets under the other team's skin. And he's had, you know, Clutterbuck has had an underrated shot. I mean, he could really beat goalies with it. We've seen him do it before. Earlier in his Islander career, you know, he had some seasons where he had, you know, 15, 17 goals. So he's, you know, he's a good player, had a good career. But I think that this is the last year that they're at least given the opportunity to stay intact. You know, there's younger guys like Julian Gauthier, who I think they want a little bit more speed and skill to the fourth line. He would bring that. You have a guy like Carson Kuhlman, who they signed in the offseason. He's a younger guy who could play that Martin Clutterbuck style of hockey. So I think, you know, if they're all healthy to start camp, I think they'll give them the opportunity to kind of stay together and see how they play. But I don't think Lou's married to them at this point. Actually, his press conference, it was kind of interesting. Someone asked them essentially the same question. You know, and he didn't have a typical ringing endorsement. He's like, oh, they've been great players. They bring a lot to the team. But he's like, well, we'll have to look at it and, you know, see how they're feeling and see how they look. So definitely left the door open for Lane Lambert and the coaching staff to tinker with things. But, yeah, if I were a betting man, as I said, and I am, I would say that this is their last time that they have together on the island this coming season.
First off, by the way, is you kept on saying Martin and Clutterbuck. I kept thinking of a 1940s vaudeville duo of like, oh, here comes Martin and Clutterbuck with the laughs for you. But yeah, it's amazing on those two. Obviously, Clutterbuck, you hope he's healthy just in general in life because you never want a player not to be. And Matt Martin might have some more years left in his game as he had a career high in points. But you just wonder if at the price tag that he's going to be at, whether or not it's not better to just move on and get to a cheaper player. But that being said, when they split up this line, when Martin went to Toronto and they added Jason Chimera, I looked at that, Anthony, and I just went, wow, they just got Jason Chimera on that line. And it just wasn't as good. Like, I cannot think of a single line that in hockey that it's, these three are just, they're the ones that you have to keep together even more than the perfection line. They were able to split up the perfection line, but you can't split up these three guys.
Well, think about it. I mean, you have Martin's 2 years in Toronto, but all intents and purposes, they've been together 10 years. You know, they're great friends. They have great chemistry. They know how each other plays. You know, in their heyday, when they were the most effective defensemen, feared going back to collect the puck behind the net because they knew they were going to get run through the wall on each side, Martin and Clutterbuck. And even Cizikas would throw hits. And even still to this day, in the playoffs and in big games, when that line is out there and they really get going, and it seems like we're just, they're throwing bodies every single second, the crowd, you know, roars, and they've brought a lot to this team. The fans fell in love with them, their identity. I think it represents a lot of the people on Long Island, right? Like that type of work hard mentality, blue collar. And that's who these guys are. And I think, you know, they brought a lot of good things to this team. But like I said, as, you know, as you get older, the game wears on you, which is happening. Martin and Clutterbuck aren't the fastest anymore, and the game is becoming a young man's game with speed. So they're kind of dying out, so to speak. But, you know, like I said, I think it is their last run at the can here. And, you know, they might not even be together for this whole year. We'll have to see.
Well, going to number four, will Lane Lambert keep the Engvall-Nelson-Palmieri line intact that helped bring the Islanders to the playoffs? And, Anthony, I'm going to bring up an old line that was really good and almost got the Islanders in the playoffs. Is it going to be that line, or is it going to be closer to the Martin Clutterbuck? And I'm talking about with chemistry. The line that I'm going to refer to is, and Islander fans, if you're old like us, you might remember this line: Reichel, Smolinski, Palfi.
Yeah,
and then next year, good.
There was even the after that, the Lucky Sevens line with Bates, Parrish, and Pekka. That was a great line too. I think so. I mean, they played really well down the stretch. I think going into camp, again, similar to kind of the fourth line, I think Lane's going to give them a chance to be together and see, you know, see if they could pick up where they left off. And I think that's how it's going to go. I mean, granted, now if something happened, you know, if they don't really seem to be clicking right away, you know, he may make a change. But I think at the very start, they're going to be together, you know, and they kind of suit each other well. Palmieri is a guy that, you know, he works hard in the corners. He digs, gets the puck out. You know, Nelson and Engvall, you know, the guys who really carry the puck and, you know, carry the weight on the line. But, you know, Palmieri had 16 goals in only 52 games last year. He was on track to kind of get back to his production that he showed so consistently in New Jersey, where he had 24 goals or more 5 years in a row. That's the Islander. That's the player that the Islanders need. And if he stays healthy, I think he could be a big contributor on this line. Of course, obviously with Engvall, but Nelson is the key guy here. You know, he's the pivot. They use him sometimes as the matchup center. I mean, we can't really say enough good things about Brock Nelson. He makes that line go. And I think, like I said, they're going to be given the chance to kind of pick up where they left off here.
And speaking about good things said about Brock Nelson, I remember one of your questions, one of your Bartok topics was that he's the best second line center in hockey. And Philk had to correct you and go, I think he might be the Islanders' best center. What are you talking about? It's amazing the line of progression Brock Nelson has been on the last few years, and he's a two-way center. He has just been incredible. Your question earlier, by the way, to Sean, can the Islanders afford to invest in him after next season if he keeps going up like this? I think you're gonna have to.
You have to. You know, you talk again, you know, let's say he scores 35 goals again, you know, even though he's going to be 32 this coming year, you know, you gotta take a look at, you know, extending him next, you know, when he's eligible next summer, because, you know, he's your key contributor on this team. And, you know, like I said, he seems to be getting better with age. And, you know, Pierre Engvall said, the other day he sat down and he was interviewed, and he talked about, you know, before he got to the team, you know, he thought that, you know, Nelson was just, you know, kind of your basic typical just shooter. And he just said that he's better in really all the other areas that I didn't expect him to be. He's rangy. He's a lot faster than he appears. They had great chemistry, the three of them. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they could do in camp and, you know, preseason and eventually the regular season.
I think actually one of the answers to this question also is you better keep them together. They just committed a lot of term to Pierre Engvall. And the only thing that should separate this line is an injury to Palmieri.
The good thing is Engvall can play, you know, he can fill that third line role too. I mean, he's that middle, he's your prototypical middle six player. And, you know, in Toronto, they have so much talent. I think he wasn't given the opportunity to display it. But, I mean, last year he had a career high in goals. He had 17 goals. I don't see any reason why Engvall can't score at least 20 this year playing on that second line. He's going to be given a lot of ice time to do it. So,
if you're going to tell me there's 70 goals on that line, that is a hell of a second line.
Yep.
So, moving on to number three. Who plays alongside Bo Horvat and Matt Barzal?
I think Anders Lee is given the first crack at this. You know, he's a natural left winger, captain. You know, and Lee complements these two, Horvat and Barzal a little bit in the sense that, you know, similar to Palmieri on that second line, you know, he goes into the corners, he protects the puck, he digs it out, brings it out, gives them a net front presence. So when they do shoot, there's someone there to clean up the rebound, deflect the puck, which, you know, you're talking top 10 players in front of the net. Lee's probably even top five. He's real good in that area. Like you said, Mark, he's definitely good for 28 goals. That seemed like the number he stuck on the last 2 years. But, you know, he's a guy that if everything goes well, could score 30. I mean, he's done it before. So the only thing, obviously, he's not the fastest player. But I think he's given that first shot at it. Again, if they wanted to really give Oliver Wahlstrom a look and a strong chance, they could move Barzal to the left and then put Wahlstrom on the right. And then that would mean Lee would play with Pageau on the left side, and Fasching plays the right side in that third line, which he is a natural right winger. So that could work too, but I think they're going to start with Anders Lee on that left side.
Yeah, I think you got to go with the captain. And I know he's sort of like a name that's thrown around like Chris Kreider is for the Rangers, where every fan wants to demote him without thinking, all right, but who's going to produce? Because after all, Anthony, how many goals is Anders Lee going to score this year?
Hopefully more than 28, but I think at the baseline, that's what he's penciled for.
Well, when you do it basically three different times in the last 5 years, and one of those times he was projected to get there if the season didn't stop. So there's another thing. And also, never forget what Anders Lee brings to this team on the power play. That's another thing, too. Going with the power play and talking more about that, Anthony, John McClain back as the assistant coach to run the Islanders power plays. What adjustments do you think he can make? And it's funny thinking about this question because, hell, John McClain was a hell of a power play guy.
You know, you mentioned to Sean when you asked him. It doesn't make sense because there's despite what people say overall about the Islanders and the talent, there's so much talent here. On this power play, and it baffles my mind. You have Barzal, who has probably the best edge work in the league and is a great passer. Then you have a guy in Brock Nelson who has a hell of a shot. Then you have one of the best net front presence in Lee on there. Noah Dobson, who sees the ice well, great. So those are four guys right there that have really, really good talents. And yet when you put them all together, you get a 30th ranked power play. It honestly doesn't make much. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know what he could do. Maybe simplify things. I know they say, you know, keep it simple, right? Stupid. Mm-hmm. So I think the perfect setup is you need to have Lee parked in front of the net. Obviously you're going to have Dobson on top of the umbrella distributing the puck. And then Nelson is going to be on his right side because Nelson has that one-timer capability in his shot. And then you should have Barzal along the half wall, right, on the left. And then you put Horvat in the bumper. I mean, that's the way I would draw it up. I mean, I don't know. They might kind of split up the talent there a little bit and maybe take one of those guys off power play unit one and put a guy like maybe Palmieri on power play one because he's got a real good shot too. But they got a lot of good chess pieces here. It's all just McClain needs to really utilize them in the right spot. And one thing I noticed too is last year, part of the problem is, you know, when fans yell shoot, which all fan bases do, but I think too many times last year, the Islanders got too cute. They were looking for that perfect play. When again, sometimes it's just a matter of keeping it simple. I mean, you have a big ox like Anders Lee in front of the net. Just put the puck at the net. You know, chances are he's, if he doesn't deflect it, he's at least going to screen the goalie. So, you know, maybe get back to basics there. But, you know, I think, you know, if they, like you said, if they want to be a better team, even getting their power play to like 15th in the league would work.
I think they need to run it through Dobson and take a little bit less decision-making out of Matt Barzell's hands. Not that Matt Barzell was not capable. Matt Barzell was more than capable. It's just the problem, I think, for him is I think he feels a little bit of the pressure, and I think he gets pass-happy. When you're pass-happy, you're always looking for the pass. You're not looking for the shot as much. Matt Barzell needs to trust his shot. His shot is better than what a lot of conventional people think it is. And if that's the case, you got to run it through Dobson, because you know you're going to get good options from or at least shots from Nelson and from Horvat that are going to shoot the puck. And then again, if you got Anders Lee there to clean up, that this power play should not be 30th.
No, absolutely.
They
shouldn't
be 30th. And I think all the players will tell you this. And also, part of the reason for the drop off was, I mean, it was the Matt Barzell injury. That was a very big factor. And that's another reason why I think the Islanders need to shift their focus, because absolutely, they have a ball. Well, let's go across the river. The New York Rangers power play runs through Adam Fox more than it runs through Artemi Panarin. So, and he's the main distributor. It's basically the same setup in a way. You got one guy that passes a lot, and then you got a big shot with Zibanejad. And Kreider in front. It's the same. The Islanders can easily have just as good of a power play. All right. And the last one, of course, with Zach Parise appearing that he won't be returning. I think you might see him mid-season with the Islanders potentially. That's just my hypothesis. Can Hudson Fashing or Oliver Wahlstrom replace his 21 goals on the third line? That is a big ask. Anthony.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, Zach Parise, as Sean and I both agreed, he was the hardest worker on the team. And then
the hardest worker on any team.
Yeah, to produce 21 goals on top of that. So you know, again, you know, will Wahlstrom play on the top line? Will he play on the third line with Pageau and, you know, maybe Fasching on the other side? So I think it's gonna be by committee, right? I mean, Hudson Fasching, last year was his first year where he got a crack at the can in the NHL, and he scored 10 goals. I mean, I really liked his game. He's a big body. He brought the puck to the net. You know, he shot the puck. He didn't hold on to it too long. I think there's another gear to his game. And then obviously Wahlstrom, you know, he has the shot that rivals Nelson. So, you know, he certainly has the capability of hopefully getting to that, you know, 20-plus goal plateau, which – a lot of people thought he could do when he got drafted. So he's going to be given a real big spot here to produce. I mean, the other option is one of the kids. You know, Lou mentioned Dufour, Ishikov, Maggio. But I don't – barring one of them blowing the doors off at camp, I don't think they'll make the team and stick. But who's safe? There's an injury midseason, they come up or they earn it. But going forward, maybe one of those guys. But for now – I would say Wahlstrom or Fasching need to kind of combine together to make to, you know, replicate Parise's production.
And don't forget one other guy that's going to be factored into that is JG Pageau. 13 goals last year, 70 games. A healthy Pageau, let's say if he gets to 20, that's going to also help it too. That's, like I said, that's a big ask to ask anybody, hey, can you score 20 goals in the NHL replacing a guy who's probably one of the more underrated American-born players of all time, and a guy that's as clutch as what he is. And who knows, maybe even Zach Parise gets a chance to replace Zach Parise if he decides to come back later on in the year. But I really like what Hudson Fasching brings. I think it's just – it's too much to ask a guy who just – got a real taste of the NHL, as you said, and had 10 goals last year. Like, the Islanders got real value out of him. I think there's a good chance that he can duplicate that again this year, even if there's a puck that goes just off his shin pad. And it wasn't that, I think that was a Buffalo game with like closing minutes.
Yeah.
That he was able to do that. And
You know what? The other element is a guy that, Julian Gauthier. I mean, I think, you know, who knows, they might give him a shot to, see what he could do. I mean, the one thing I'll say about Gauthier is he's got good speed and he's got good offensive instinct. It's just about finishing. And you know, maybe change of scenery. They give him a real look next to Pageau, and see what he could do. But you got to include him at least being in the mix as well.
Yeah, I got to include him. I really don't have to pay attention to him, though. Anthony, you ever hear the term in baseball that pitchers got good stuff?
Yeah.
You get those guys that you just go, hey, Anthony, they got good stuff. They got such good stuff. Yeah. You never hear him get called a good pitcher. The reason why is because their stuff, their slider, their curveball, everything is so good. But yet that ball just finds the middle of the plate and he gets hammered. Yeah. He gets tattooed like a biker. I mean, this is not exactly Julian Gauthier. I've seen this movie before, and it wasn't a good one. There just doesn't seem to be a complete game to him, and maybe he finds that in with the Islanders, but
I'm gonna make this correlation to you because it's the same situation. It was a Ranger discard that came to the Islanders and kind of, you know, carved out a decent career and actually later on got paid from another team. I don't know if you know where I'm going with this, but P.A. Parenteau. P.A. Parenteau was never really given a chance by the Rangers. He comes to the Islanders, has a couple of good years where he puts up a decent amount of points, and then he got a big deal from Colorado. Do you see any way that Julian Gauthier could – maybe a similar thing can happen to him if, you know, the Islanders gave him a real chance at playing some third line minutes with some, you know, skilled players.
No. I'm just going to say like that it's and be that frank. He seems to only have one real goal scoring move, which is drive the net and shoot far side on his forehand. He doesn't really seem to have the jam when plays are breaking down or when plays are continuing. I think every single goal he scored as a New York Ranger was either on the rush or off a faceoff. That was about it. Mm-hmm. If you could find me another goal that he had that wasn't either on the rush or off a faceoff, please throw it down, email it to me, and I'll be like, wow, there was that one. But
Well, I haven't seen Mr. Jamspan here so welcome. But yeah, he actually brought Arno Durando. He actually looked pretty good when he got some time in. He's a fast player. I think again, all these guys, they're going to be given looks. I think he might be ticketed for Bridgeport again. But he's another guy that if he impressed enough, I think he could fit somewhere in that bottom six too. So. We'll have to see how it plays out.
But also, to answer your question on this, Anthony, I'm not sure if youngsters – well, actually, you know what? I was going to start that sentence. I did start it, actually. But I'm going to save it because we have that topic coming in Bar Talk later where we're going to be talking about some of the players. So we're going to X out of this right now, everybody. Of course, by the way, thanks to Sean for joining us. And we're going to have a message from DraftKings. And then we're going to do some New York Islanders bar talk. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN.
Shot. This is the easiest I've ever had to answer.
I'm going to say beer. I can't even begin to describe.
I'm actually going to go crazy. I'm going to buy everybody around on this one. By the way, I got a little bit trigger happy right there, everybody. That promo code for the DraftKings is THPN. That's for the Hockey Podcast Network, one of our partners. But everybody, welcome back to Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we are gauging our confidence on these NHL or New York Islanders topics based on our choice of drink. Are you so confident that you don't want to buy everybody around? Or are you just like, so, I'll have a beer? Or are you just not that confident? You're like, gah, I need a shot. And of course, reminder, why go to the liquor store when you can have Drizzly bring it all to you? Beer, liquor, wine, whatever you want. Great for parties. Click the link below, start up an account. And once again, Big Apple Hockey hats and shirts are available in our eBay store. Click the link that's in the description. Anthony, this was one of our Bar Talk topics that we can't help but get on. We wanted to do it last week. We ran out of time. And it's kind of infuriating that I can't even believe this was an actual thing that was said, to be honest with you. Also, by the way, Anthony, you got rock star hair going on right now, the way you have that. ESPN predicts Brock Nelson will notch 49 points. Brock Nelson will score over 55 and a half points.
So this is a round. I mean, the guy's going to probably score at least 35 goals. You know, he had career high in points last year, 75. I honestly expect him to be at that level again this year. I mean, this is a guy that 2 years ago when he scored 37 goals, he missed a couple of games too. I think at least five. He probably would have hit 40 for the first time in his career. I don't know what ESPN was kind of smoking on this, but Brock Nelson hasn't scored under 50 points, I believe, since 2017, 2018 in a full season. They're on crack. I mean, that was a joke. Put total disrespect on Brock's name. I don't know what the formulation was that they used that, but it's out to lunch. This is a layup. It's a round. And Brock Nelson, I think I have him ticketed to reaching that 4-0 number when it comes to goals this year.
I got to tell you, if I was walking into a bar on Thanksgiving Eve, and I would be so confident that I'd be buying everybody around on this one, because or St. Patrick's Day, or if you're in Wantagh, the St. Patrick's Day parade, you should see how Boss Perkers gets. It's one of those things, Anthony, I got to agree. What the hell were they smoking? Like, are they predicting Connor McDavid to get 65 points? It's just you're absolutely ridiculous in saying that Brock Nelson's going to score 49 points when he has 37 goals last year and he's been over 70 the last 2 years. Give me a break. I mean, that's just dumb. But you are predicting the Islanders' Brock Nelson will score over 40 goals?
Well, I think he gets the 40 this year. Yes, I think he gets the 40. 37 2 years ago, 36 last year. You know, he's their best goal scorer. I think he does it this year. I think he does it.
I'm going to go beer on this one. I'm not sure if he's a 40-goal scorer. That is not a slight at him. But then again, the Islanders have a 40-goal scorer on their team right now. Problem is nobody remembers that Anders Lee did it. It's been so long. Yeah, but he did do it. And by the way, Anthony, I also got to correct myself because I did joke saying that the Islanders haven't had a sniper in since Ziggy Palfy, but they did. He just plays in Toronto now. I know it's he who shall not be named. Going back to the guy who was the Islanders.
And Mark, not to nitpick though, and that's it's fair. Your opinion, you said you don't think he's a 40 goal scorer. As I referenced 2 years ago, 37 goals. You played in 72 games. I only thought he missed five. He missed 10 games. Three goals in those 10 games. So
he easily could do it. I'm just not a buyer that Brock is going to is. I look at Brock and I think Brock is a two way player who has his responsibilities defensively. I don't look at him and just think 40 goals. If he proves me wrong, I am more than happy for Brock Nelson to do that. Because after all, we have this constant debate. Could Brock Nelson make Team USA? And in years past, the answer would have been absolutely. But yeah, now
there's so much young talent and his age. By the time the next Olympics come around, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, looking over at Matt Barzal, 51 points in 58 games. He went on that weird stretch to begin the season where he was a point a game, all with assists. No way is that happening, Cor. I'm not sure if Gauthier scores four, never mind 40. But Matt Barzal will hit the 80-point threshold this season.
So – obviously, he did it his rookie year. I'm going to go beer. I'm not going to round this one. I mean, I think he can. But so if you look at his production last year, 51 and 58, so that, you know, that falls short of 80. But I think Barzal will get back to 70 points, especially playing at Horvat. If he stays healthy, I think he absolutely will. I mean, he's shown he has the talent to do it. So it's certainly possible. That's why I'm not going to go, you know, shot, but I think, you know, a fair prediction for him is, you know, getting back to 70 points. I certainly think he certainly has the playmaking ability to do it. You know, if him and Horvat click and he's feeding Horvat and Horvat's feeling it, I mean, the guy could have, you know, 50 assists alone. So I think it's possible, but I'm going to, you know, play it a little conservative and say that he reaches at least 70.
Well, to be fair. Matt Barzal's got the talent to do it. He should have been doing this a long time ago. I'm going to go shot on this, not because I don't believe in Matt Barzal. It's just because that game just hasn't translated the last few years. I as well as a lot of hockey fans, I would love to see Matt Barzal be able to do this, but he just hasn't broken through or been able to mix the defense and the offense in his game. I think his high since Lou took over was 65 points, if I remember correctly.
So that's since 18-19, 62 points.
All right, 62 points. Can he do it?
Yeah, and then, you know, in 21-22, he had 59 and 73. Obviously, he missed nine games. I think, like I said, I think he's going to get back to being a 70-point player. But, you know.
70 points, that's definitely feasible. I think the one thing he wants to be an 80-point player again is he's going to have to shoot the puck more. Everybody's doing running passing.
Yeah.
And that's what they're planning on. Anthony, who led the NHL in shutouts last year?
That'd be Ilya Sorokin.
And Ilya Sorokin, who has, I believe, the most shutouts in the NHL the last 2 years, if I recall correctly. Yep. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Because I didn't prepare a stat for that, so I had to make sure I got that one. Hey, still haven't had a Mark messed up GIF in this one yet. Anthony, Ilya Sorokin will lead the league in shutouts this season again.
I mean, it's around. He did it last year. 2 years ago, I think he was tied for the lead with Markstrom. He has 16 career shutouts already. Remember that ridiculous stat last year? He has the most shutouts when it comes to the percentage of the games that he's played in. It seems like, you know, every two or three games, the guy's pitching a goose egg. You know, so yeah, I think it's around. I think he wins it again. And there's a lot of talented goalies in this league, believe me. But for whatever reason, he seems to be a guy that just gets shutouts like it's candy. So I think he's going to lead the league again in shutouts this year. And the scary thing is, over the last 2 years, there are so many times he lost a shutout. There were times in the last seconds, in the last couple of minutes. Could have even more. Yeah, I think this is a round for sure.
Like the Blackhawks game, I think you lost it with 30 seconds remaining.
Yeah.
It was, or even less than that one. By the way, Anthony, this is a whole lot of rounds. Again, this is one, I'll say it again. You go into New York City and go to Times Square, and I'll buy a round for everybody on this one. Two reasons why I'm going to do this. Because, A, Ilya Sorokin's got the talent and the focus to do this. The other thing is, if you remember what Jim Dowd said when he was on with us during the summer, that was back during the mentality that's set from Lou Lamoriello is shutouts, one goal game wins. And they were making lots of money with bonuses back then with Jim Dowd. They can't do it today, obviously. But on the other hand, that's the mentality I think that permeates from Lou all the way down. If there's a shutout, go get the shutout. If there's a one goal game, go win that one goal game. And I think the Islanders always are going to be thinking that when there's that goose egg with 10 minutes remaining, they're going to be thinking, I got to get this kid a shutout. And that's why they're going to keep fighting all the way through and making sure of that. We talked about this earlier. And by the way, there's a bit of an asterisk with this one, but Matt Martin, Cal Clutterbuck, and Casey Zegras have been together since 2013. Yes, we know. We mentioned it. There's the 2 years Matt Martin was in Toronto. Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck will both play at least 65 games. Anthony.
I think this is a shot. Last year, Clutterbuck played 49 injuries. 2 years ago, 59. I don't see it happening. I think they're just the way they play. Just causes for their body to get banged up and bruised. And Clutterbuck has more so than Martin, but you know, it seems like he can't really stay healthy for a long stretch of time. So yeah, I don't see it happening. I think you know, whether it be because they're going to start, you know, the transition of going into a different direction with the fourth line and using some of them as healthy scratches, incorporating younger players combined with getting injured, I don't see it happening.
Shot. Matt Martin played 81 games. That's good for him. His body is holding up. He is, and he also produced the most points he has in his career. Cal Clutterbuck, 49 games last year. I can't confidently say they'll both be in 65. And yeah, it is time to start transitioning and making sure you got something left. And again, I mean, yeoman's work for Cal Clutterbuck. He's done a hell of a job for the New York Islanders. One guy who is still sort of, we'll use the term, a budding star player, a guy that was on the hockey guys' list of the best defensemen in the league, but not on our John Falkowski's list for the best defensemen, which Anthony was disappointed about in a short. You should check that out. Noah Dobson, 48 points 2 seasons ago. Or sorry, last year, 51 points 2 seasons ago. And if you remember, Anthony, last year in the season preview, I put up, I think it was since December 1st, Noah Dobson and Adam Fox in a comparison, and it was a lot closer. Noah Dobson will have a career high in points this season.
Yeah, you know, last year when it came to the defensive side of the game, I felt like he took a little bit of a step back. Too many times he made too many questionable decisions with the puck. But when it comes to his offensive skills, that I have total confidence in. So, you know what? I'm going to go round here, especially if they fix their power play. If they fix their power play, which he's going to be a mainstay on, that's going to just help him accumulate more points. You know, this is a guy, like Sean said, I mean, he basically scored 50 points last year, fell too short. But I think that he has the ability to score, 60 points in a season. He's very skilled. He moves the puck well. He sees the ice well. He's got a good shot. He's going to get those power play minutes. And like I said, if that power play even goes to 15, he's going to accumulate a lot more points on the power play alone. So I'm going to go around here. I'm to put a number on it. I say he scores like around, 57, 58 points. But I certainly think he's a guy that could be a 60 plus point defenseman going forward. Remember, he's only 23 years old.
I think if he's a passenger in the car on that power play, then he's going to be stuck around 50 points. And I don't know if that's a career high. If they let him drive the car, I think he gets into the 60s. That's how good I think Noah Dobson is. And it's one of those things that I think they're going to have to put the trust in him. And I think he's going to show that. And Anthony, I'm going to buy around on this one. I think it's kind of a bit of a layup in a way because he's already hovering around there to begin with. But it's one of those things that they got to trust Noah Dobson a lot more. And as we discussed before, this kid can be something special for them and be, I'd probably say their best defenseman since, or offensively at least, since maybe Adrian Acoin in like the early 2000s. Also, because I thought highly of Adrian Acoin. So,
Mark Streit.
Mark Streit. Okay, there's another one. But Mark Streit wasn't really known for his defense.
I think he was the last, prior to Dobson, I think he was the last Islander defenseman to put up 50 points.
Okay, season, Mark there Streit. You go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first ever Swiss captain in the NHL, if I recall correctly. Yep. But the other thing, though, with because obviously Adam Pellick is a great defenseman, and that's a no-brainer. They just need to just get Dobson to take that next step, and I think he's ready to do it. So we'll see about that one. We got one more, and then we're going to be taking your questions. I don't have a lead-in for this one, Anthony, but – we're just going to jump right into it. William DeFour, Ruslan Ishikov, and Matthew Maggio. That one's an easy one to pronounce. will make the team out of training camp. Anthony.
I am going to go with a shot. Not because that I don't think any of them have – like they're ready or the talent. There's no question about that. I mean, Maggio was led the OHL in scoring. Definitely showed a lot of promise. William DeFour had a great first year in Bridgeport. So did Ishikov, small, but really silky, smooth, talented. However, it's a numbers game, right? I mean, for them to make the team, not even like in the starting 12, but then you have guys like, Simon Holmstrom, who's still in the mix for a spot. Carson Kuhlman, who they signed, then Ross Johnston, Julian Gauthier. So all these guys that the aforementioned ones would have to be placed on waivers, where these guys could go right down without having to go through. So one of them would have to really, really stick out like a sore thumb and like really like shine for one of them to make the team. I know Lou mentioned him and talks about like, getting that spot Parise left, but I don't think any of them are going to make it just because I don't see the roster space for it. So I'll go shot.
I'm going to go shot too. Look at Lou's career. He's a veteran leaning guy. And with good reason. There's lots of reason to have the veterans up. He likes to plug and play the younger players as they come along. Very rarely, but very rarely does he go with youth first. So I'm going to go with that. It's going to be veterans. Maybe the youth comes in. Somebody goes in and takes the job. I keep hearing about the four. It might be one more season on him before he really gets a real shot at this. But I definitely think that nobody's going to be surprising anybody. I heard that they want Ishikoff to make the league.
He's super talented. Chris Terry, who previously played for Bridgeport, said that he's the most talented player he's played with down there. It's just a matter of size and learning, learning the pro game.
Learn the North American game.
Yeah. Yep. So they're all super talented. They both have different skill sets. William DeFore is a bigger player, who relies on his elite level shot already. Ishikoff, like I said, he's a smaller guy, speed, silky smooth, hands, all that. And then Maggio is kind of like, he's similar to Ishikoff. He's got more size. But I think all these guys have a potential future. I just, like I said, I don't see them, any of them, making the team off the bat, just because of the numbers game, the amount of guys they have right now.
Yeah. And that's where the hard part comes in. And again, like I said to you before, Lou is going to favor the veterans anyway, unless you're Scott Gomez and you show that you got the promise. And the next thing you know, you're the rookie of the year for the New Jersey Devils, like he was in 1999, if I recall correctly.
I believe so.
All right. Well, that's the end of Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, everybody. And thank you all for watching that. Now, let's get to some questions. And we could always play a quick game of Puck Doku. And the best part about it is Anthony and I didn't play this morning. So all of our answers are going to be up for grabs. I'm assuming that Crossman will be mentioned today, or Adam Creighton. But
let's go with Puck Doku right now, and then
we'll take some questions. Oh, by the way, Core, so my favorite is going to be down between Cam Talbot and Alexander Georgiev. Jeez, I mean, I can't even fathom that. First, I love it that you got people in when they're talking about the LA Kings. It's, can Cam Talbot do it for the Kings this year? I'll answer that. No! He had a 280 save percentage, 280 goals against last year. And you're going on a team that, they got better defense sort of, but basically went from the Ottawa Senators to the LA Kings. They're the same freaking team now. So we're going to be trying to get more shorts for team previews coming in, because we might be running out of time on team previews.
I'm going to plug. All
right, Anthony, here we go.
All right, so let's start. Carolina / Whalers, 900 save percentage. Let's try to go. How about Jason Muzzotti?
Jason Muzzotti for Carolina and the
– which far one? Right. Not that square.
Okay, so Jason – Jason Muzzotti. Here we go. 0.3. Nice. All right.
All right. So Devils, I mean, obviously Brodeur would be way high. Jan Donis, who played for the Islanders. He also played for the Devils. Y. Jan with a Y.
Okay. There we go. Is it Donis or
D-A-N-D-A-N-I-S?
Okay. All right. I'm obviously spelling Jan wrong. There it is. There's two N's.
Oh, there you go.
John Donis. How about that? All right. Columbus Blue Jackets.
Goalies. That's a little hard because, I mean, guys like Marc Denis and Pascal Leclerc are probably going to be high because they're like their main guys that everyone really remembers.
Elvis,
you know what? But he's current. That's going to be way high. Matthew Guerin didn't play there long, but Matthew Guerin, I think.
All right, ready to try it?
Yeah,
Matthew Guerin is in there. All right. Now we have this is the Winnipeg Jets / Atlanta Thrashers. And
that's tough because the Blue Jackets Thrashers combination, a lot of the obvious ones. Oh, this is a blast from the past. Jean-Luc Grandpierre.
Jean-Luc Grandpierre. Wow. I have not. And it's Columbus, Winnipeg, right?
Yep. Atlanta.
Okay. Let's do it. Boom. Jean-Luc Grandpierre. Yeah. I remember hearing his name all the time and thinking he was going to be something special. Columbus and the Capitals, or if you want to try to see if you can break one of these.
Columbus and Capitals?
Yeah.
Chris Beach.
Chris Beach. Chris Beach. Chris Beach it is.
One? Wow, I thought he'd be less than one. Damn. One.
Yeah, I thought he'd – well – fortunately, everybody still remembers failures. Okay, so we still have we have New Jersey Devils and the Atlanta Thrashers slash the Winnipeg Jets. The
guy, so I think I got two.
Johnny Oduya or Bergfors?
They'll probably be. I think they might be a little higher. Patrice Cormier or wait, who's the guy? Pascal, not the Puip. Oh, Pascal Riom. Yeah. That's got to be
Pascal Riom. 0.4%. Good call. If I recall correctly, that was Menon's brother.
I'm not sure. Menon?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
We'll double check that one. I could have sworn that was her brother, but I mean, oh, I might be wrong just right now saying it out loud and worried about that. Obviously Capitals and Devils, Marcus Johansson or Scott Stevens, but let's stay away from those.
Core is saying Connor Carrick. I don't know. Connor Carrick played for Washington.
I'll check that out real quick.
I got a good one for Atlanta, Carolina.
Is it Ray Ferraro?
No. Eric Belanger.
Eric Belanger. By the way, it was Connor Carrick. Connor Carrick has played for Washington and New Jersey. Yes.
That's a good one, then, actually.
That's a good one. I mean,
He's current, yeah. But do Eric Belanger for Atlanta and Hartford / Carolina.
Eric Belanger, 0.6%. The best part about Anthony is that he's able to get through all these by remembering tough guys. So, and goalies.
You know, there's no way to use my staples of Crossman and Didick in this one.
No, there isn't.
I don't want to reply. Carolina and Washington.
Carolina and Washington. Obviously, it would be Justin Williams, but we're not going to use him.
You know what I do in situations like these? I don't think of it as Carolina. I think of it as Hartford, because then if you think of Hartford, it's more obscure. Like Dave Tippett.
Dave Tippett's a good one. And the Capitals. You want me to try Dave Tippett?
Yeah, do Dave Tippett.
He was a hell of a coach. That was one guy that I wish the Rangers would have gotten back in 2013. I mean, but then again, I got to see it at NHL Stanley Cup. 0.3. So we just have this Capitals and New Jersey one. And
Core is saying Carrick is below 1%. If that's true, then I would plug in Carrick there.
All right, we're going to go with it. This is actually the shortest puck doku we've had. Connor Carrick and boom, uniqueness of one.
Nice.
I would like to say that this is the lowest I've gotten, but it's not there. Connor Carrick, 0.8%. In case if anybody was wondering, let's see. I just want to check what they had on there for Johansson. Where's Marcus Johansson? So, oh, there he is. Marcus Johansson, 10% right now.
Yeah,
so.
That's way too high. That was a good one.
That was a good one. All right, let's get back to this. And now let's get back to some Q&A. Let's get some Q&A in here, guys. So, Gauthier will be a blooming Brendan Shanahan. Absolutely not, Mike. I don't think that's happening at all. A little bit of a self alley-oop.
So there's some news before, not big news, but they announced the skills competition is going to be February 2nd. The All-Star Game February 3rd. The trade deadline was set for March 8th. And the playoffs begin Monday, April 22nd. So we've got some dates there that the
NHL. All right, let me make sure I get the trade deadline noted right now.
March 8th.
Yeah, because after all, there's going to be other dates I'm going to have to be focusing on next year.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. but NHL trade deadline, alert me 10 days before and 14 days. We'll make the second alert 2 days before.
What are your thoughts on Trevor Zegras and Jamie Drysdale and Anaheim still being unsigned?
Core, I'd want to announce anything at a later time. So what's my scoring another point on the ice? Or are you getting engaged? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see on that one. My thoughts on Zegers and Drysdale, it's going to get done.
Aren't you already engaged? What's
we? All right. Well, because I'd like to announce things not in the middle of or at the end of a podcast.
My bad. My bad. Let the cat out of the bag. Well, yeah, you know what, Anaheim has over $16 million in cap space. That's why I'm a little. What's up, Johnny? That's why I'm a little surprised that these two are still unsigned. It's not a matter of cap space; like they got plenty of it. $16 million. Fact that they're still unsigned is a little strange to me.
I think it's a little bit strange. I think I'm also trying to get them to do more bridge deals for future contracts. I don't think they're willing to just go, Trevor Zegras, here you go. Because, like, the Ottawa, which would you decide that you'd want to do this? Would you want to do the Ottawa Senators method of, all right, we know this guy's going to be part of our core. Let's lock him up long term. But you don't really know if that's going to be the case or not. Because I think that's a risky situation. And I didn't like it when the Rangers did it with Adam Fox. I think you have to have the hammer while you use it. And I do get it, Anthony, where it's if you're doing this, there's got to be you should probably do it when the guy is going to be producing. But in the case of, say, Adam Fox, let's say he keeps producing through the rest of the contract, the Rangers are going to have to pay him more money in the next one. So I'm not a big believer in just handing out money. I mean, Sidney Crosby took a bridge deal. Mm-hmm. So everybody else could take bridge deals. But you know something? That's probably what they're doing. And Jamie Drysdale hasn't really played as much. Jamie Drysdale doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
Trevor Zegras, on the other hand, has been a human highlight machine, an all-star. And that's where he's going to be good. So,
I
I don't take much out of it. I just take it as negotiations. And camp doesn't start till next week anyway. They could sign the eve before camp and they'll be fine.
I'm going to go about like two more minutes.
All right, not a problem. That's actually a good idea for both of us.
I'm going to do some stuff. So we got to figure out when we're going to do a season preview show.
The season preview show, hopefully we'll get it within the next 2 weeks. We're going to have to do everybody's got to have their predictions for the season. We're going to actually do our best season preview show coming up. We'll talk about the Rangers. We'll talk about the Islanders. We'll talk about the whole league. Who's going to win the awards? After all, the man right there predicted who was going to win the Rookie of the Year. The Vezina Trophy, none of us had Linus Ullmark. And Phil, who did Phil have?
Are we going to any preseason games?
That would be a good question. I would love to go to a preseason game. Maybe even do one at the Garden, do one at UBS.
Are you going to the Rangers home opener?
No, I'm not gonna be able to.
I'm gonna try to go to the Islanders home opener. It's October 14th.
Yeah. Well, you'll see. There's fortunately more stuff that you'll be able to take with you, because we got some other things coming. And Coral, I'll get you on that one. Yeah, preseason tickets, they're like $70. They're ridiculous, but
yeah, that's absurd.
That's absurd. I mean, it's preseason. And Cora's saying, amazing how your dating life was a main staple of the channel. And now here we are. God bless her. God willing to be in an open relationship with Justin Huberdeau. but
you no, certainly are.
Yeah. Well, for the blessed Justin Huberdeau. I'm planning on this. Like I said before, we're going to have our best. I said it to Philk, our best show is always the next one. So that's what I can't wait for. Hopefully we get to be in a studio for that. If not, we'll figure out how we're going to do that. We'll do it normally, but everybody's going to have their awards. Everybody's going to have their preseason stuff ready to go. And hopefully I'll have all the graphics. So that'll also be a good thing. Now preseason starts not next Sunday coming up, the Sunday after next.
Yeah, the Islanders' first preseason game is the 26th against the Rangers. I think the Rangers play before that, though.
Yeah, the Rangers play Sunday. They play against the Bruins. The
Islanders play Tuesday.
Yeah, and I still shaking my head at that it's $70 for a preseason game. And in the meantime, there's it's a football Sunday. How many people do you think are going to be at the Garden? So, but hell, 2 years ago, we have our video when we were up there, when the Islanders shut out the Rangers, I think it was 3-0. And you got the chant, your yes, yes, yes. But this time, if we do it, we'll all be on the same train instead of me getting us on the wrong train.
They play each other both. So at the game on Tuesday is at the Garden. The game on Friday is at UBS.
All right, Friday I would not be able to make that one because it's bad enough. I'm taking off 2 days of work. I got to make sure I'm saving money for lots of reasons. But the Tuesday one, I'd be eligible for that. So, that'd be great if we can go. I get to ask to see if we can get tickets or even just find tickets that are there. I mean, we could just go there, go on StubHub and probably get tickets for like $40 or $30 going on in.
I'm going to head out. I got to get some stuff done. Well, I don't have the kids, so they're at school.
Likewise, so, I'm going to have to get some stuff done. Once again, everybody, you want a Big Apple Hockey shirt or the hat, go to the eBay store. I'm going to start playing around with the music to get us out of here. And, well, There's Anthony. He just went. And because I still love playing this song. It's still a great song. So anyway, thanks for joining us today. We're going to figure out what the next day we are streaming. We're going to be getting through a little bit of scheduling problems right now, but don't worry about it, everybody. It's going to be another great year. This is actually now episode 3 of our new season. So can't wait for that. Johnny Red, Johnny, thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. And Johnny, I got to agree with you. I don't think you should give out big contracts just yet. Tim Stokler's one a different story. Brady Kachuk's a different story. But I'm not big on that one. And yeah, Pat Verbeek learned how to play hardball from Stevie Y. Stevie Y doesn't give in, and the Iser plan is a real thing, everybody. So, guys, thank you very much for joining us again today. I can't say it enough. This is always great whenever you're on. Make sure you watch the replays and some of the others. I still have more of the Neil Smith interview I have to edit and get to you guys. So there's going to be more of that, and I might try to get some of that done this afternoon, get us all posted. Looking forward to this season, and I think as a Ranger fan and analyst, I gotta say that I think that the thing about the Rangers for this season is it's sort of like, talk to me in March, just the way I feel. I don't think they're going to win the division. I don't think that they're going to fall to wild card. So they're going to get either Carolina or the Devils, unless something completely unforeseen happens. And I think this team is going to have a lot more structure with Laviolette. So I don't know. I don't know why. Johnny Red, divorce has its advantages. Yep. But I don't know about that. Congratulations, actually, to Gaetano and Maureen Crescenza, my lovely girlfriend's parents, who are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and having my parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary just last year. It is great for that to happen. And if I get married, I'm doing it once. And I'm sticking it out the rest of the way. Actually, I told that to Maria. I'm like, you picked the right guy because I'm a Mets fan, which means I'm gonna be sticking with you to the bitter end. All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us today. I'm going to get all this on audio right now. Have a great night.